All right. I'm going to put this actually in the middle just because we try to record these and I want everybody to be able to, because we're doing our open mic night. Announcements. I don't know about any announcements today, so I don't think anything's happening really. There's no like church activities happening. I will say this. I forgot to say this last time. Pastor Bob wanted me to kind of get the word out and get you guys excited. So he kind of alluded to that last Sunday. We're not going to be doing like softball or volleyball, like any of that stuff that we normally do. But one of the things that he is investing in right now are some what do they call it, belays? What? Maybe not. Yeah. Is that yeah? So what's a belay, Kenzie? Explain that. Very clear, yes. Thank you. No. No, that's exactly what it is, though. So back in the day, like, he used to set up obstacle courses for, like, the police department and SWAT, and, like, he used to teach, like, the fire department and police officers, like, how to rappel and stuff like that. So, you know, he got just a glimmer in his eye to kind of start that thing back up. So he figured with everything else being kind of exclusive and us not being able to get together with all these other activities, he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go buy some rock climbing equipment and the singles in the youth group. That's going to be like one of our activities that we get into come summer and spring. So he showed me all the stuff he has. He's purchased all that stuff. But just kind of a heads up to you guys, that's kind of going to be like one of our group activities coming up here soon and frequently. And so we'll be doing
like
it.
Indoor rock climbing?
Outside.
Like, what?
So both, actually both. That's a good point. It's going to be indoor and outdoor. So what's the difference though?
Well, no, I just don't know like what's going through his mind. Like, where do we outdoor rock climb in this area?
I personally don't know.
Campgrounds like back in the woods.
Exactly. Like. I mean, I couldn't even tell you where like a good. I mean, now I know because like I got into it this past summer. But before that, I couldn't tell you like where a bike trail was. So. But I guess people that are into that, they know, like, little niches. Like, oftentimes, and sometimes even around, like, these lakes, they have, like, these little cliffs and coves and stuff like that. But, I mean, Jenny used to rock climb, so she knows stuff around here. I
was just curious.
No, dude, I've never gotten into it either. It's
not, like, on a wall?
So, both. Like, there's going to be, like, the artificial stuff, like, we used to go to, like, Dick's and, well, I guess Dick's never had that.
Paradise Park.
There you go. Paradise Park. What's the place over here in Lee Summit along 291? They jump a lot.
Sky Zone
has like one of those, like for kids and stuff like that. So there's like some spots around here with that. I guess Logan Miller has been talking to Bob and giving him like all these, all the insight on it. So he's like our rock climbing ambassador that's kind of leading the way. No, man, I mean, I'm interested. If nothing else, dude, it'll be funny just to get up there and see everybody try to do it and kind of hang out, you know. It's funny just to, especially when nobody's really good at it, just to watch everyone kind of learn together. You guys did that at camp a couple years ago, right?
Yeah.
So I think that was another one of the options was, actually, yes. Now that I'm talking about it, it's kind of jogging my memory. He said that he had been in contact with the guys at the Salvation Army and just to see, like, what the availability was. And so I think that's going to be one of the options, too, so. That's going to be one of our third options. So Salvation Army, where we have our camp, some random spot where you can climb. I mean, Bob talked about it. He used to actually do it off of, like, six-story buildings and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's just...
So
cute.
So,
I mean, the sky is the limit, you know what I mean? For all I know, we could be heading down to the West Bottoms in Kansas City looking for abandoned buildings, you know, and just going to town. So get your Spider-Man in check and get ready. It's coming. It's coming at you. Sooner than you think. So, Jenny, you know of any rock climbing places around here? Like outdoors or indoors?
Ibex.
Yeah, there you go. Great. So, I mean, there's tons of places. I just don't know any of them because I never did that. That's about it, man. I don't think
it's
we have any.
It's not called Ibex anymore. It's probably not
called Ibex.
It's still
the same spot. It still is. Okay.
Okay.
7 years ago,
we called
Ibex. Babe, are there any other announcements? I don't think we have any other announcements, really. We can probably just sing and get into our questions for the night. All right, everybody grab your hymnals. Hands up. Kenzie, are you able to hear everything all right? Can we move you closer?
I'm like, bro.
It's Joshua.
I'm like, bro. That was disgusting.
You can,
The fact that it's kind of true.
All right, guys. Let's get started singing here. Sierra, open us up with a word of prayer, and we'll get rolling.
Thank you so much for just having us all here today, to just letting us be able to just fellowship with you, Lord, and to give all of us the words to say tonight in our open mic night, and to please just keep us all safe on the roads and all of our families just safe from all the virus and all the craziness in this world. We love you so much. And you're so beautiful and precious.
All right, number 17, come thou fount. Here we go, number 17. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, thither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. I'm prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above. I just had it, and I just lost it. Oh. All right, well, let's do this and do 49 until I can find the other one I was looking at. 49, our great Savior. 49. Here we go.
Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Savior makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me till the end. Jesus, what a strength in weakness. Myself in him, tempted, tried, and sometimes failing, he my strength, my victory.
Right, verse number 3.
My Jesus, what a help in sorrow, while the billows o'er me roll. Even when my heart is my comfort, my soul. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Savior.
what a guide and keeper.
While the tempest still is high,
storms about me nigh o'ertakes me. He, my pilot, hears my cry.
Last verse.
Jesus, I do now receive him more than all in him I find. He hath granted me forgiveness.
I am his and he is mine.
Alleluia, what a Savior. Alleluia, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end.
All right.
You can't see that one, can you, dude? You make yourself worse.
What's that? No, it's just on the floor in there. It's nice, roomy. any suggestions? Tell it to Jesus. That's a goodie. What number is that, Amanda? 347. Tell it to Jesus. All right, here we go, guys. 347. I like the lighting up here. It's
very
warm.
Elegant.
It's warm. It's very warm. I feel cozy with you all. All right. Here we go. Tell it to Jesus. 347.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus.
Tell it to Jesus. Are you
grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears your cheeks unbidden. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it
to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone.
Tell it to Jesus.
Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known.
You've no other
such friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Man, I cannot get my throat clear. One or two more. One or two more.
210.
270.
Whoa.
Oh, you said 70. You said 72.
270. No, she said 70.
Oh, 70.
70. You said 270 or 70?
Yeah. 270.
All right, here we go. All right, here we go. Haven of Rest. Haven of Rest. All right, here we go. Here we go. My soul inside exile was out in life. See, here we go. My soul inside exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. Then I entered the haven of rest. I made my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. Tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I am safe evermore. I yielded myself to his tender embrace, in faith taking hold of the word. My fetters fell off and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I am safe evermore. The song of my soul since the Lord made me whole has been an old story so blessed. Of Jesus who saves us ever will have a home in the haven of rest. I make my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, come to the Savior, he patiently waits to save by his power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest and say, mine. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus,
I'm safe evermore.
All right, go ahead and take your seats, guys.
Good job.
Tonight, I brought a book with me. Huh? Yes, this is how long the Constitution is, right here. The U.S. Constitution and other writings. And other writings. All right. So, listen up. I'm going to read the Constitution tonight. And you guys are going to give me a book report on this after I'm done.
Bye.
You say, yeah, bye.
I'm done.
All right. Jenny audits people on the Constitution also. All right, listen up here. This is the Bill of Rights. It was passed in 1789. It was ratified, which simply means, you know, confirmed and made valid in 1791. Now listen up to this. We're going to talk about, this is what your questions are going to be over tonight, all right? So study and listen up, especially you, Caleb.
Oh, okay.
All right, so listen up here. Congress of the United States begun and held at the city of New York on Wednesday, the 4th of March, 1789, just like it said. The conventions of a number of the states having at the time of their adopting the Constitution expressed a desire in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added, and as extending the ground of public confidence in the government will best ensure the beneficent ends of its constitution or institution. Did you guys understand what I just read right there?
No.
It was kind of crazy. There's just a lot of like lawyer speech, jurisprudence, all that stuff like that. So basically what they just said right there is the reason that they put the Bill of Rights. And so you have two separate documents. You got the Constitution, which is like the overall big body of our laws. You know, this is exactly what we stand for. This is what we're going to run by as a country, as a nation. And what they did after they made that, just to make sure that they kept their government in check, they said, but also we want to make sure that the government does not have too much overreach. We want to restrict their powers. And we also want to make sure that this Bill of Rights is written so that the people are benefited from the government and not restricted by the government. So that's their whole premise. That's their whole reason for writing the Bill of Rights. The Constitution, the laws that the country's going to go by was already written. But then they came afterwards and they said, let's write this thing called the Bill of Rights, though, just in case. Because now that we put this document out there, we can already see, we can foreshadow, or we can see the government getting bigger and we can see its arms reaching out and spreading to us. So this is what they came up with. I'm going to skip a lot of other things and just get right to it. There are 10 amendments in the Bill of Rights, okay? 10. What is 10 in the Bible? What number does that represent? What's 10 represent in the Bible? 1 plus 0? What?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, in Bible numerology, what does the number 10 represent? Does anybody know? Kenzie, do you know? Remember? Say it again. Not the 10 tribes. Oops. No, not the nations, but it actually represents. It represents the Gentiles. 10, the number of the Gentiles. Well, we'll have to come back and touch on some Bible numerology then. Maybe I need to do more of that. But yeah, thank you, Kenzie. That was very, 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 very good. 10 represents the number of the Gentiles. So anyway, the Bill of Rights has 10 amendments to it. I'm going to run through them real quick, and then I'm going to pose my question that I have for you all tonight based off of that. All right, so listen up. Number one, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Okay, that's number one. This is still a part of Amendment 1. Or abridging the freedom of speech. What does abridge mean? To lessen, to deprive, to make short. Okay? Or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So a lot of protesting happening this summer. And recently we see that a lot in the news. Have you guys seen any examples in the news of people's speech being censored or shortened or abridged, like the word used? So just keep those things in mind. All right, that's Amendment 1. And this often called the Freedom of Speech Amendment. Amendment number 2. All right, a lot of people know about this one. This is what it says. Amendment number 2. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Okay, so notice this. The Second Amendment was proposed for fighting and not for hunting. Oftentimes when you hear that talked about in the news media today, they talk about, well, we have the Second Amendment so that, we can own weapons. And then oftentimes people say, well, you only need, a weapon big enough to hunt with. Well, no, when the founders put that into the Bill of Rights, it had nothing to do with hunting. It had to do with fighting and actually fighting against the government itself. Okay, so that's the Second Amendment right there. Amendment number 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. So that's just simply like, think about them. They just fought off Great Britain, the number one superpower in the world. All right, just these ragtag group of colonists. All right. And they fought off the number one superpower, and so they're thinking about what do we need to write in our Constitution to make sure our government doesn't become like that government. So there must have been some type of abuse of power happening by Great Britain where the soldiers would find like a nice house, and they said, well, we got more guns than they got. Let's take this over, boys, and make it our headquarters. So imagine that. You know, you got different areas of the city. people that have different sized houses. And imagine the military just coming down your street and saying, dude, that house is awesome. Let's kick those people out and take it. So they wrote an amendment to protect against that. All right, amendment number 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, all right, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So that's, you can't be searched and seized without having a warrant, okay? You see that in movies, like when the FBI and them people show up. You know, do you have a warrant? You know, all that stuff like that. Amendment number 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury. Okay, so no one can charge you for a crime without having a grand jury get behind that and send it out. Everyone has to look at it. I'm not going to read all the way through these because I want to get to our questions. Amendment number 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. Okay, you already know where that's going. You hear the police say that when they arrest somebody. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say will be used against you in the court of law. You also have a right to an attorney. All right. Number 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of a trial by jury shall be preserved. No fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of common law. So two things there. Any dispute you have with a person that's greater than $20, they said, can get taken place in court. So that's why they have Judge Judy on TV. It's like those little petty things that, you know, people like to listen to, just little knickknacks. But that's what it is. Oftentimes they'll talk about that. The second thing in that thing is it said, no case examined by a jury shall otherwise be reexamined in any court of the United States. So that means after a jury has already looked at your case and given you, a verdict? It can't go back to court again. So no double jeopardy. Okay. Once you've already had something taken care of in court, it won't go back to court again. Number 8, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. So if I just can't stand Drake and, you know, I'm a police officer and I got my buddies in the court system and we just always see this dude driving around town. We're like, what can we do to get this dude in trouble? And he's just a law-abiding citizen, a goody-two-shoes. But finally, he pulls up to a stop sign. He didn't wait 3 seconds and said he leaves after 2. And so here I am in my police car. I'm super giddy and excited. And I pull him over. Woo! I say, all right, get out. Put your hands above your head and all that stuff like that. And I take him. I lock him up. I put him in the jail cell. And the rule right there is that I cannot give him an excessive amount of bail. I can't say, all right, you're in jail until you make bail. He's like, okay, whatever. What's the bail? I got to get home. And I say, $1 million. All right. They are going against that. You're not able to do that. Amendment number 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. It simply means the rights that are already established, you can't interpret them or make new rights to hinder more rights that would help the people out from coming along. Last one, amendment number 10. The powers not delegated to the United States, which is the government, by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. That just simply means whenever there's you know, something that's not covered in the Constitution, that power automatically goes back to the states and to the people to make up their decision, to make up their minds about how that's taking place. It's not up to the federal government to come down and say, this is how we're doing it. Okay, now, why did I do that? Is it because I really am a big Constitution buff? Because I really understand most of that? No, not at all. You could probably hear that by the way I was talking about it. The reason I did that is because that is something that is really big on people's hearts right now. I feel like the previous times I've probably come at a slant that's more against like the obvious stupidity that's happening out there. And just because they're so progressive, it usually goes against the left. It usually goes against people with these progressive ideas that we know are wrong. You know, like same-sex marriage and transgenderism and all this stuff, and teaching kids about stuff they shouldn't have anything, you know, knowing about until like they're way older in life and stuff like that. Okay, the crazy liberal ideas that are out there that are pretty obvious for the average person to say, no, that's dumb, we're not going to do that. Well, today, because I always say this, you even heard Pastor Bob say this, you know, we say as a Christian, you don't line up on either side, really. Your citizenship is in heaven. You're just a citizen that's this, you're a citizen of heaven that's just passing through this world temporarily. what I'm going to talk about today kind of touches on the right, love side more than anything else. And it's simply this. Do we have God-given rights? I just read to you 10 that were added to our Constitution. All right? That was what the Bill of Rights was for, to protect people against the government. All right? My question, because, and this is what I hear oftentimes. I hear Christians, I hear pastors, I hear tons of people say this. And this is the thing I think that got me the most upset about all the stuff happening with COVID and the lockdowns. I was never scared of the virus. I was never, worried about, anything that might come from that or any other things that might be taking place with a one world government and stuff like that. That doesn't scare me. I'm a Christian. I know what's going to happen to me if I die. There's nothing you can do to me that can make my life worse, personally. You know what I'm saying? The worst thing that the world thinks they can do to me, like slaughter me and kill me, would do nothing more than probably get me rewards if I go through it for Jesus Christ's sake. And then I'll wind up in heaven immortal in a perfect body. You know, so there's nothing you can really do just to scare me in that sense. But one thing that did scare me, one thing that got under my crawl, was taking away my freedom. Was taking away the things that I do to entertain myself, the things that I do for fun. And you're hearing this thrown out a lot. The right to freedom of speech is my God-given right. It's my God-given right to be treated equally. It's my God-given right not to be someone else's slave, to have independence. Is it? Do we have God-given rights? If so, what are they? And thirdly, where are they found? All right. So let's start there. We got more questions to build off of that. Who wants to get us rolling tonight? You guys don't want to talk about? Listen, nobody can be wrong, okay? Anything that you say, I guarantee it, I've already lined up with you on it, all right? So for it or against this? So let's not make it about, let's just say this. If your friends at school ask you that, what would you say? Caleb, what would you say to that? They say, Caleb, do you think God gave us rights?
I mean, yeah.
Okay, why? How did God give us rights?
I mean, basically God created us all, like created us from the dust of the earth and basically gave us right to do what we choose to do. I mean, because it's not like back when he used to just, like, people would get stoned for doing something wrong. So we have the right to do whatever we choose to do.
So you just said the right to choose.
Yeah.
God gave us a right to choose. All right, Lexi, I think you were first.
Do you mean, like, I don't know, like, if I'm taking this correctly, but, like, God gave us, like, the right to choose between, like, I don't know. Nah. I don't know, because I feel like this is dumb, but I mean, I guess, like, he gave us, like, the right to choose between, like, him or the devil.
So that's good. You guys are like going a little bit deeper on the right thing. You're like saying he gave us a right to choose, gave us a right to choose between him and the good and evil, you know, him or the devil. Kenzie, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, like, he gave us, like, liberty so, like, we can, like, choose what we do, whether or not we, like, choose to live our lives, like, for him or for the devil. Or
it's like free will.
Yeah.
Okay. Amanda.
I agree with what they're saying, but, like, kind of to look at, like, Christ put us down here and we're supposed to be Christ-like, and when Christ was here, he was a servant. So technically, we should be servants too. And although, like, he allowed us to, like, have, like, rights from our, like, U.S. government, and he allowed us these things, like, I think technically we're down here to be servants. So although he graced us with those rights to, like, vote and to, like, make our own decisions, if we were put, like, in a third world country where we had to be servants, like, we couldn't be upset about it because he was a servant.
Are you for slavery?
No, I'm not for slavery, but as a servant, as in, like,
that's from, right.
Like, biblical.
I got a right to own slaves.
No, but, like, we have to base our lives off of, like, to be like Christ. And although I'm not going to go, like, buy people to work for me because Christ is a servant.
I am.
Supposed to, like, serve.
What would you say to a guy that says something like this? When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entail them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Amanda.
You said self-evident. So all of that is evident to us, but what does God have to say about it?
All right, she said all that's evident to us, but what does God have to say about it? Are you guys just going to agree with each other tonight the whole time?
We can put a government in place for us to make our own decisions.
Oh, Lexi.
I don't know, because I'm kind of confused. So I have a question, like, why, like, God gives us the right to choose between him and the devil, and like you say, we all can have our own opinions. But, like, why is it that, like, if a Christian person is to say something about somebody, like, a transgender person or, like, a gay person or whatever, like, it's an issue, but when a gay person or someone goes in on a Christian person, it just feels like it's more normalized.
Like, it's bad if you talk about their lifestyle, but it's okay if they criticize your bigoted lifestyle, you know? You said, why is that?
Yeah.
Does anybody else want to answer that? Kinsey?
Well, I think it's just kind of how I look at it. It's like it's just like the devil trying to infiltrate us even more, just kind of like beat us down. Like we're trying to stand up for the right things and we're trying to say the right things, but then everybody is coming at us saying, like, no, like, you're doing this and that's actually wrong, and like, this is what's normal, this is what's to them, like, worldly is normal, and so that's why they do the things that they do, and that's why they come at us like that, but we're not allowed to do it to them because it makes us unlike them and it's strange and weird to them, and so it's just wrong in their eyes.
You know, I'm going to piggyback on Amanda's thing. Who says it's wrong, though? Who says it's wrong for you to come back at them? Is that what other Christians say? Is that what the Bible says? You know what I mean? So it kind of comes back to that, like, who are you listening to determine whether or not what you're doing is right or wrong type of deal. What were you going to say, Sierra?
I was just going to piggyback off of what Kinsey said about on how there's a verse that says that if the world hates you, to remember that it hated Christ first, and that when we chose Christ, we chose to basically endure being a servant for Christ and to be a good soldier and stand. And we were honestly not, like, it wasn't like we were put down here to be bond slaves, but at the same time, we were bought with a price, and to the way that we live our lives is the decision that we made because Christ paid, died on the cross for our sins. So though we may not, well, since somehow it's the member of like the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are unsafe people, of course they want to everyone be happiness, which I thought was kind of funny that they said happiness because happiness is temporary. Maybe they knew that, whereas joy is an eternal thing. And if they did choose happiness, then, well, I mean, everyone, like, even like in like today's day and age is, oh, everything's okay, everything's all good, then why would you, like, if they really took like a stand for something, then it still makes me kind of mad that everyone's just okay with everything. Mm. But at the same time, it's easier that way.
Okay. Macy?
I was just going to say, like, kind of what can about like how like they talk about like us and like just how we stand up about how it's like wrong, like it just kind of goes back to like the fear of man versus like fear of God, like my kind of like what my dad talked about a couple weeks ago, how like we shouldn't really care about like what they say about us and think about us. It's like really kind of what like God thinks about us, because in the end, like, if that's what really happens.
Do you guys have it? What's up, Amanda? Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, the thing that I hear all the time, like, at my school is, like, people will say this to me, like, just joking, and they'll be like, that's why your great-grandparents had slaves. Like, if I drop my pants on the ground, I have to pick up, that's why your great-grandparents had slaves. I'd be like, shut up, they're from the North. No, they didn't. But, like, one thing that I just think is so funny about that is people always take the term servant and slave and push them together as one. But, like, if you look it up, like, a slave
has no choice but to serve. Like, you're under that person's, like they own you. But the servant has the choice, just as, like, Christ served people by choice, and we have the choice to serve Christ. And I always just thought
that. That is a good point to bring out there, because I've said that before. You know, I'm a bond slave for Christ. I'm his personal slave, because I wanted to, like, really emphasize how I don't have any, you know, control over my life and stuff like that. But at the same time, no, I'm really a servant, if anything. And I choose daily whether or not I want to serve. And more often than not, it's no. You know what I mean? So that's a really good point you brought up there. Somebody else have their hand up over here? Is somebody? I feel like Jordan wanted to say something. I saw you itching, just wait for these girls to be quiet so you can really get up and say something there. Do you kids have a right to your own room in your house?
No.
Do you have a right to be treated fair amongst your parents?
No.
No, no, no. Do you feel like you have a right to be treated fair amongst your parents? Are you okay? Okay, Kenzie, what'd you say?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and explain that.
You pay the bills?
No.
You go to work?
Dude, yes.
I don't really know how to, explain it, but I think it'd be kind of unfair for them to treat me wrongly because they're the ones that brought me into the world in the first place. So, like, if they were going to bring me into the world just to, like, treat me wrong and treat me bad, then, like, I might as well have just, like,
that's
not
their choice.
Been born.
See, I got a free choice.
So, like, I think that, like, me being here is, like, I kind of have a right to be, like, treated. Because if anything, I'm, like, here out of my own will because, like, I wasn't, like,
you said you are here or you're not here out of your
I'm
own
not
will. Here. Yeah.
It's like they wanted to like have a trial, which is like great, but like so then I think that I have a right to like be treated fairly because like they like wanted me. You know?
Okay, then that's very good.
Like, if that makes sense, like I don't.
Are there kids that have wound up in the world with terrible parents? So that happens. How did you get good ones and they got bad ones? Did you have a right to the good ones, or was that something God just blessed you with?
God bless me.
Yeah, same with me. What's up, Lex?
I feel like, I don't know what I was going to say. But I mean, I guess I feel like everyone's parents are like, have to be like, I mean, you could just have like the most deadbeat parents, but like in some way, like they're still good parents because they're like taking care of you and like making sure you're stable. But like as much as you like say, like, I think people get like I know there's like messed up families out there, but like I could say that I had bad parents, but like now they've changed and stuff. But like I don't think you're like it's like you either have bad parents because there's always something you can always find something good about somebody.
Sure, absolutely.
Be like, oh God, like punish yourself and be like, oh why God, why'd you give me such bad parents?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know.
No, that makes sense. I mean, I'm not talking about the run-of-the-mill parents. I think there's everybody's parents you can say something negative about, you can get upset with, you can get mad at for the discipline that they instill in your life. But overall, you know that overall, like, they love you, and they're trying their best to do what's right for you. Like, they're not taking you home, putting you in ice baths, and then taking hot pokers and sticking you with them. And then turning you over to like to other people to get like raped by or something like that, which actually happens. You know, that sounds horrible, but that stuff actually happens out there. There's people that have kids just to sell them into sex slavery and stuff like that. Okay, so that's what I mean. Some people are born into those situations, and then they're just along for that ride the rest of their lives. While others, I mean, I think everybody in this room right here, you know, will say, "No, I'd rather take my parents than I have." So. Yeah, we might need some Lysol up here pretty soon. somebody might have pooped himself. So.
Well, your previous lesson about a testimony of grace and a testimony of mercy.
Yeah.
But the Lord chose a, like either or for that, like for us, because well, it may not have been personally like intended for us, but who knows? Maybe it was based a lifestyle for like the parents to learn from. Or maybe it was for their dad, for their grandparents. But our lives are basically a testimony towards, it may not be like directly like with us, but somebody's going to need to hear it someday.
Okay.
And so even though, let's say like, there's a girl in like Iran who had just ended up getting it like into a sex injury 6 months later or something. maybe one parent's going to hear about that and be like, oh my gosh, and she's pregnant, she's like, I don't want that for my child.
Yeah.
And so they'll be inspired by those bad events.
No, absolutely. Man, what are you going to say?
But, like, I agree with what Sierra's saying in the sense of, like, I could see, like, if somebody grows with horrible parents, like, and not like, oh, they sent me to the room, but, like, actually, like, abusive, like,
right.
And horrible things go on in that house, and then I go and try to witness to them, they're like, well, you don't know what I've been through, you can't relate, whatever. And, like, it's probably a lot easier for me to say that because I did come from those situations, but, like, people who make it out of those situations and who get saved and are on the right track for God, those are the people that can turn around and minister to those people. And so, like, as awful as that is, like, God knows who's strong enough to go through it and take it.
Mm.
And so I feel like if that's where he needs you to be, at some point you have to realize, like, he did this for, like, this happened for a reason. Not like God, like, gave you these horrible parents.
Right.
That happened for a reason.
So you're saying no matter what situation a person gets born into, God's going to find some way to equal it out, to level it out for them so that they can not feel cheated by him, like, at the end of life or
if
something like that.
If they turn their life to him, yeah, if they just live their life how they want to live it, then no, I don't think it
would work
out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, hit that. Let's do it.
It's even worse downstairs. Like, you don't
oh, it's downstairs?
Bro, someone leaked
it's
up here.
It's terrible.
Wait, really?
I don't know. Oh.
I mean,
smelling
like
candy. Oh.
Yeah,
That's right, man. There's going to be some sickness with that. All right, turn to Psalm chapter 9. Go ahead, Lexi. Psalm 9. No, we're still talking about this. I want to give you guys some proof for this now. Go ahead. What are you going
to
say?
Like, add on to Amanda, like, I feel like God knows everybody's motive for everything. So, like, people may, like, not hurt themselves, but, like down themselves because they go through something that, like, I don't know, I'm just, like, learning from experience, like, you just always seem so, like, beat down, but, like, God knows, like, your, like, strength and, like, what you can go through, like, I mean, like, he always has, like, a plan for everybody, like, if I knew that, like, God would, I would have, like, when we were going through all that, like, God would have brought us out of it, like, I never would have, like, held a grudge or anything, like, I'm, like, you're like grateful for it.
Yeah.
I
agree.
You guys
I agree.
Don't have like she just says there's like different opportunities, and I think I think it's really cool for like people that never have like been through it can like see the difference in someone, because like people always are just like God, why do you have to like do me like this, or like why do you got to give me these bad parents that like beat on me or like do whatever, like I don't know. God has like. God knows your strength, and like I just feel like he brings you through stuff to like make you stronger and like test your strength.
Absolutely. No, I mean, I think that's great, man. I mean, I'm glad you can even see that perspective. This is stuff that's happened in your life. Like just being able to step back and understand that's something everybody needs to walk away with. It's just that thing right there. Just like the Bible says, that is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That same light, that light is not just salvation, guys. Like, he'll lighten your way out of trouble, out of bad situations. After I've gotten saved, he's still lighting the way for me. You know, through the foolishness that I make and through the darkness of even the times we live in. So, God will give a man or woman, whoever you are, he'll give you light, and no matter what situation you're in, as long as you're looking for, you know, to do right and to get out of that situation. So, no, that's great. The problem is, oftentimes, the devil is offering a dark way out, too. He's offering the way of a victim. He's offering the way of guilt, the way of, you know, no, don't move past what took place to you. Identify with that and make that about who you are now, and demand that society recompenses you for the struggles that you've gone through. That's the problems with a lot of the groups right now that are out there, you know, fighting for their rights and saying that they feel like they're treated poorly by everyone else. Instead of like running to God and saying, you know what, it sucks what took place, but I believe in you and I believe you still got something for me and I'm ready to come out of this if you want to help me. They're saying no. For the rest of my life, because of what took place to me, I'm going to make you suffer for it. I'm going to demand that everyone bows down to me and pays me back for this. Over here in Psalm chapter 9, the first time I came across this, you know, it really shocked me. Because, you know, all my life, I like drunk that Kool-Aid where I thought, yeah, like when it comes to rights, they're given to you by God. You know, when we learned about perfect month of February, Martin Luther King, you know, everybody was learning about him. And he was not only a doctor, Dr. Martin Luther King, but also a reverend. So he was a spiritual guy, too. And so here you got this civil rights leader who's also a preacher. And when people talked about them, you know, everything he said was almost like it was the oracles of God. So they would go back, and not only would they go back to the Declaration of Independence that I read to you guys, where it talked about we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. They go back to what Martin Luther King would talk about, how not judging people by the color of their skin, but the content of their character, and how all he was looking for, he had a dream of equality. And so it tied in with what the founder said, and then it tied into what we thought God made, which was he made creation and he made it equal and stuff like that. And with that, I thought, okay, well, that's what it is. Like, America's great because we protect people's rights. And we do all around, you know, the world, stuff like that. We send in our military where human rights are being you know, infringed on, and we go and we knock out dictators. We protect people from terrorists. We go out and we give food to people that are starving, you know, in Africa and Somalia and stuff like that. So America, you know, based off of its ideals, is going all over this world supporting and you know, giving charity and handouts to everyone that needs it. Okay. So with that, my thought was, okay, yeah, then that's exactly what God intended. God intends for us all to be treated equal. God intends for us all to be taken care of. And so groups like the ACLU, the NAACP, welfare, you know, in the government and stuff like that, that's exactly what God intends. But watch this. Just like Amanda kind of brought up, and some of you have also brought up, that's what we naturally think, you know, this stuff is for. But what does the Bible say about it? Psalm chapter 9. I'm going to walk up to it. Pick it up in verse 1. It says this. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. Now watch how it happened. For thou, talking about God, hast maintained my right and my cause, thou settest in the throne judging right. That's what we're talking about, our rights. What naturally belongs to us, what is given to us by God. Check it out, guys. This guy right here says that God will maintain your rights and your causes. You don't need a political party to do it. You don't need some special bureaucracy to do that for you. So here's the question. If you have to rely on man to maintain your rights and your causes, and God doesn't seem to be stepping up for those rights and those causes, are those rights and are those causes that God wanted you to have? If they're God-given, they'll be God-protected, and no man can take them away. If they're American given, then they'll have to be American protected. And if you're not in America, they'll be taken away. Does any other country have a Second Amendment? Does any other country have a robust First Amendment like we do, the freedom of speech and those liberties that they give us over here? You see, make sure your Christianity doesn't just work in America. Make sure your worldview doesn't just work in America. That's the problem. We take what we've grown up with. It's like this. It'll be like me taking the rules that I grew up with in my house and painting everybody with those same rules. How many of you guys have different rules in your houses than maybe the person sitting next to you? I know I personally did. I remember that. How many of you guys have a rule that you're not able to watch TV during the weekdays while you're in school? Raise your hand. That was a rule in our house. How many of you guys can't play video games on the weekdays while you're in school? Raise your hand. That was a rule in my house. You see what I'm saying? So each household has different rules. I would be a fool to think everybody was ruled by those rules. The problem with Christians in America, we're spoiled, we're soft-footed. We have no concept of what true Christianity is. We have no concept of what's happening out there in the rest of the world. So the worst thing that's happening to us are lockdowns, infringements on rights, having to do things that make us uncomfortable. While since the time that Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross, from that time until now, people have been dying for the testimony of Jesus Christ, for trying to get a Bible, for not accepting the religion of their nation. You guys see what we're talking about now? How it's a farce to say these are my God-given rights. If God gave them to you, he won't let anybody else take them. You know what they can't take from you? They can't take your choice. And a lot of you guys already touched on that. That God did give you that. He gave you free will. Look over here at Psalm chapter 10, verse 14. Same thing. Pick it up in verse 12. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. Here it comes. The poor committeth himself unto thee. The poor committeth himself unto thee. One last time. The poor committeth himself unto thee. My question is, do they? Do you guys think the poor in America commit themselves to the Lord to get the food they need, to get the clothes they need, to get the sustenance, to get taken care of like they need? No. Now, I'll say this. At one time, the church was robust enough, the church understood its mission enough to where the poor committed themselves unto his people. And that's where the groups like the Salvation Army came from and the City Union Mission and stuff like that. It was churches, it was Christians that understood that, hey, our life is not our own. Not only do we need to serve, you know, one another, but we need to look out for those that aren't that well off. And it was the churches in the country that took care of people that were down and out, that were suffering. But after the churches became more about their programs, more about their buildings, more about their productions, the government stepped in and took it over. And with that, the churches lost that ability. The government got a huge ability. Now they have a welfare state. It grew the government because now they have an excuse to take in more money because they're supposedly giving it to these people. And now look what took place. What should have been the church's ministry is now the government's ministry. And it blew that government up into something huge and nasty. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Not to the NAACP, not to the ACLU, not to the Southern Christian Leadership Conference or anything like that. The poor are supposed to commit themselves to God. You know, God, and when you study what he does in the Bible, he's attracted to people that are weak, to people that are poor, to people that can't do for themselves. And listen, that doesn't mean poor, doesn't mean like I don't have money, okay? You can be poor in spirit. You can be poor in character. You can be poor because of the abuse you've taken in life, through all the hard times and stuff like that. I know tons of rich, I don't know them. I've heard of tons of rich people that have very poor lives, so poor that they end up taking their lives. There's no fulfillment, there's no joy in that. But the whole idea, we know about that. Why does God bring a man to the end of himself? Why does God bring a man all the way down to nothing? It's so that he'll finally look up to him. and not looking down on everyone else like he's been doing. All right? Let's look at one more spot. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. We're talking about God given rights and what God actually does get behind and what he does support. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, look at verse 38. And this is Solomon dedicating the temple. And what we find out here is that he's kind of talking to God about what Israel's going to be like and what this nation's going to be like down throughout the ages. You know what? They're getting the temple established. That's going to be the central hub that God deals with the nation of Israel through, their temple. The central hub that God's going to deal with you through is your body. The Holy Spirit of God indwells inside of you, okay? Now listen up. So Solomon kind of gives a good and bad scenario. Pick it up in verse 36. He says this. If they, talking about Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or near, yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried away, carried them captives, and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, here it comes, and maintain their cause. Are you down for the cause? Do you support the cause? God will support your cause if you do this. And forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Psalm 9:4 said, thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Psalm 10:14 said, the poor committeth himself unto thee. 2 Chronicles 38:39 said right there, the Lord will maintain their cause when they return to him. I was hanging out with the Stevensons, a couple of the kids, a couple of weeks ago maybe. I don't know what it was. We were hanging out talking. But basically, I talked about the way that I approach life that I think is safe for winding up at the judgment seat of Christ. And it alludes to what these verses are talking about. Forget about your rights. Forget about what you think you're deserved. Instead, do this. Become so impressive. Become so valuable to God that no matter what you do, he wants to get behind you and support you doing it. It just said that right there. He will maintain your rights and your cause. Of course, there's a clause to it. It's fellowship with him. You got to be tight with him. You see, you're his servant. And he pretty much wants to bankroll you and everything that you got. One of the ways that Bob's put it before is that God pays for what he orders. Okay? Not only does that have to do with material things like buildings when you're setting up a church, the Bible also says that your steps are ordered by the Lord. That's your walk. That's your life. If God has ordered your steps, he's going to pay for each one of those steps. He's going to look out for you. He's going to protect you. He's going to give you favor, unlike he gives to other people that aren't as close to him. If you're sitting here right now, and you're thinking, man, I'm going to graduate in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. I'm just in middle school. I haven't even thought about graduation. But what takes place after that? What about in the year 2020? I thought I wanted to grow up and have kids, but look how crazy this world's becoming. What am I supposed to do? Everything seems like it's turning upside down. What are we supposed to do? Get close to God and watch him bankroll everything for you. Watch him take care of you. No, you're not going to be living like Donald Trump. You really don't want to be living like that. But he'll give you fulfillment. He'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. He'll give you favor with God and man. He'll be behind you in everything in life where it seems like, God, no matter where you put me, I just keep getting favor with no matter who I'm around. There's other people in my same situation. They look at it as a sucky situation. Why am I enjoying this so much, Lord? I don't have tons of money. I don't got tons of influence. I've got the most basic, there's nothing more basic than my lifestyle besides dirt. Lord, why is this? Why am I so happy with so little? Because you've got more than everyone else, son. What's that, Lord? You got me. And you're in fellowship with me. And I'm right there with you along the way. You see, that's why Jesus Christ, like the Bible described him, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yet could be the joy of heaven, walking around down here on earth. Yeah, to the world it doesn't look right. It doesn't look good. But who cares what they think? To the world, you criticizing homosexuality isn't good. But what does God think about it? Guys, yeah, so cliche. Your life is such a vapor. Listen, this is a brief moment in time. We're transitioning into eternity, folks. Don't get caught up in the shoes you have on and the outfits that you're wearing and the people that are friending you or not friending you and the job you're going to have. Listen, what about this? What if the rapture is going to take place next year and the number one thing in your heart is, will I be able to get a job? And the only reason God put you in that spot was to see if you had enough guts to trust in him and say, I don't care about that. I'm saved. If God wants me to live, he's going to have to feed me. If I'm going to feed without stealing, he's going to have to give me a job. Lord, it's on you. I'm just going to keep getting my Bible and doing what you tell me to do each day. Who has guts to do something like that? None of those worries, none of those cares should ever get into your mind for long. We're human, absolutely. We're in our flesh. You know, even sympathizing with our friends, we listen to their concerns and their woes, people that aren't saved. And so, of course, it's going to get into us. We're going to think about stuff like that. Alex is transitioning right now from one job to the next. You know what his thoughts would be? That's on God. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm serving him. I'm keeping my fellowship with him. Lord, do you want me to wither away and die? Okay, if that's what you want, that's going to be the best thing for me. Just like David Brainerd. Served God unlike anybody that I ever knew. Died at 29 from tuberculosis. Kinsey, if you did everything God wanted you to do, do you think it would be a blessing to die at 18 from tuberculosis? Spiritual. I'd be like, no, what? No, Lord, if you're blessing me, you're going to give me the scholarship I want. You're going to give me the car I want. You're going to give me the friends I want. The only way you can look at your life like that to the world where it looks like a huge failure is if you see your life for what it really is. You are a soul that has stepped into a body for a moment, and you'll be stepping out soon one day, going into eternity. What does it matter where you're at? What does it matter what you're actually doing in this body? God, think about yourself as this, and I hate to be charismatic, but think about yourself as an angel that God just gave a body to minister to others and then bring you back up to heaven. Does it freaking matter what your job is? No, because your purpose was always greater than what you're doing right now. You belong to heaven. What does it matter if the government comes in and takes away your rights? Your Second Amendment, your First Amendment. Do you think someone can really keep a Christian from preaching? Moses and Elijah are going to show up in the tribulation period under the Antichrist when the devil himself is on earth ruling, and they're not going to be able to shut them up from preaching. What I have to say was not given to me by the government. If there was a First Amendment or not, I would still be saying it. You don't have God-given rights, but you better have a God-given fight. And I'm not talking about the physical. That's the number one verse I think is the most violated verse in the Bible. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. If you can see it, that ain't your enemy. So I'd say probably 99.9999999% of our lives, we never fight the enemy because we never pray. We never get on our knees. We never fight against the sin in our life. That's the enemy. It's you, and it's the spiritual things around you. Did you guys hear that? You are the enemy, your flesh, and the spiritual wickedness in high places influencing the people around you. When Drake comes up to me and smacks me in the face and does stuff that I don't like, you know what I'm actually supposed to do? Sure, I should protect myself. But at the end of the day, I'm supposed to go and pray. Lord, I don't know what spirit was behind that dude, but it knew exactly what to do to get under my skin. And I rebuke that spirit in your name. I plead the blood over whatever was happening in that situation. And Lord, I trust that you're going to come in and work whatever you need to work in that guy's life, because he's not the enemy. How do you know that, Zach? Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So this whole thing about rights, and I know this is supposed to be like an open mic night, kind of turned more into a message. Sorry about that. This whole thing about rights is what the devil's come up with to handicap the Christians, to handicap the people that should really have power. Because what we did, he gave us something flashy, something appealing, something that appealed to us. And we said, oh, okay, never mind, God, you can move. I got a good government now. I actually don't need you anymore. As long as I keep voting in people that are for the Constitution, Lord, I'm good to go. Because they'll protect me and give me everything that I really need. And now you get to see where a lot of folks are now that they're getting taken away. The government giveth, the government taketh away. So how do you guys feel about that? Going into what we're going into. I saw you had your hand up earlier. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, whatever you're doing.
I am done right now. Okay. Go ahead.
Just like with the whole, like, what you're talking about when you're saying, like, how you're talking to us the other day. I feel like you have to have the right perspective on it. Hmm. Like, you can't just be like, oh, okay, God, I'm going to drop everything and, like, just put it all in your hands. Like, you can't, like... You gotta, like, put effort into it. Like, you can't just, like, have a friend and you're the one, like, putting all the effort in the relationship. Mm. It's, like, it's never gonna work. Like, you can't just be like, oh, God, all right, Jesus, take the wheel. Like, if you let your hands off that steering wheel, you know that you're gonna go into that ditch. Amen. Like, it's not like God's gonna, like, take it. And I know, like, when you're asking, telling us about that, like, the other day, like, it's intimidating to be like, okay, time to, like, put this in God's hands. But it's not about, like, dropping everything. I read this article about, like, this, when you're talking about, like, chasing, like, money and stuff. Like, I read this article about, like, a guy that, like, he, like, just wanted, like, this $2 million. And, like, he was, like, really high in, like, the acting and, like, all this stuff. But, like, he was just chasing it for so long that when he finally got it, it didn't benefit him. He was still having all the same issues, family issues, like, mental issues, just anything. Like, you can't, like, chase it. You gotta, like, put effort into it. And, like, I know it's, like, intimidating, because I know that's intimidating to me to be like, okay, I like, because I'm always focusing on, like, oh, like, what classes can I take to, like, help me get into the medical career so I can grow up and be a pediatrician. Mm-hmm. But, like, I just feel like you just need to, like, take it day by day. Like, that, I say that's my mindset, and I know, like, I mean, it's, like, hard to just be like, okay, like, you don't want to think about your future or anything, because, like, that's what, like, people should be focused on that. It's not, like, a bad thing, but, like, I know it may be, like, intimidating to, like, just be like, okay, God, like, all right, let me put this in your hands. You got to, like, put effort into it, too.
Yes. One of my favorite sayings is, trust God like you can't do a thing, but go to work like you've got it all to do. And that's like a German saying. I can't speak German, so I can't say like them, but that's what it is. It's pray to God like you can't do a thing, but then go to work like it's all dependent upon you. And I do. Maybe I should clarify that. When God made you all, he made each and every one of you with special talents and abilities that not everybody has. All right? No matter how much I trained or something like that, maybe I would never be as fast as Alex. Maybe I'd never be as good at volleyball as Kenzie. Maybe I'd never be as clever as Ethan. You know, whatever. So, you see what I'm saying, though? Like, it's like, there's a reason God made you, like, with certain abilities and stuff like that. Like, Jared. You got a man crush on Jared. This dude, anything he does, anything he puts his hands to, he's awesome at it, okay? So here's the thing, like, the whole thing is to realize that, okay, you have natural abilities and gifts and stuff like that. And really just sit back with God and say, yeah, Lord, I wonder what you're going to do with that. Keep doing stuff that makes you excited. If God put on your heart that you want to be a doctor and you want to pursue those things, like, 100%. If studying comes naturally, you're good at memorization, you can understand those concepts well and break them down, and you're good at that, there's a reason God put that in you. You see what I'm saying? The problem with people, though, is they don't turn it back over to the Lord and say, is that what you want? And it's not like you wait to hear an audible answer. If God gave you those abilities, keep developing yourself towards that. If he doesn't want that for you, he'll make it clear. He gave me a lot of natural abilities that got me into doors. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I got to college. That's how I did certain things that I was able to do, because of those natural abilities. But then he said, all right, I just wanted you to get a taste of that. I wanted you to be able to be around this for a second. Now I'm going to take that experience and move you somewhere else. That's the question. If he allows you to go down that road and blesses you down that road where it seems like that's exactly what he wants for you, he opens doors for you, but then he says, all right, now just like I told Abraham, give me what you love the most and sacrifice it on the altar. Will you be able to take your Isaac and put him on the altar for God? Or will you say, no, Lord, you got me a scholarship for this reason. I'm really good at this for a specific reason. Lord, the money's so close. The career is so close. There's no way in the world you can be telling me to, but will you? Will you sacrifice your Isaac? And that's what it's all about. Because God, he doesn't care about Isaac, Abraham. What he cares about is getting you. That's why he told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, because he really wanted Abraham, not because he wanted Isaac. He didn't care about taking something from you. That's not why God's doing that. If God takes something away from you that you think you really desired, do you have enough faith to trust God that he actually has something better for you instead? Even if material-wise it doesn't look like it's what you thought it should be. Guys, that's not just careers. That's not just, you know, sports. That's relationships. That's anything that you really love, that you're pursuing. He is a jealous God. He's real. But the cool thing about that is when you sacrifice things for him, he comes through for you. Do you believe that, though? Are you willing to test that? That's bravery to me. That's the true courage right there. What's up, Sierra?
One thing that my sister and I kind of do is, I'd say to put it simple, is to make us feel like dirt in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we basically kind of like, it's a reminder to just remember like where we come from, like we're from like the dust of the ground, our life is a vapor. And to, it's basically like a reality check for just to take it day by day, like what Lexi said. And that if we like think about that every day, that's going to prone to like make you want to make sacrifices like for the Lord, because you're like, oh my gosh, if I'm like this right now, there's so much more I need to do before I get there. And it's like, Lord, just give me today, give me this moment to do this, because if I don't do it now, I know I'll never do it then, because then my flesh is going to want to do this, and then once I give it this, it's going to want to do that, and it's going to keep hopping from the next thing to the next thing. So I feel like it's always good to clear your mind before reaching for anything, because you're just going to get so caught up in it, and then one day you're going to be looking around and be like, I wasted all this time and I only gave like one slice of the pie for God, so what should I do now?
Dude, that's good.
So I just thought that would help.
What's up? Did you have a question? We're about to say something. Yeah.
One of my favorite things to, like, about like this, or about like our God in this system, whatever, is that like we have this, like, I guess like it's important, like, for me to like make sure that I'm doing the right thing like all the time. But then like for me the coolest thing is that I don't have to wait till like the next day and take it day by day to like actually make it right with God if I mess up or slip up and do this or that. Like the fact that like as soon as I realize like what I'm doing is wrong, I can turn around and like repent and get forgiveness and get grace, and by the end of the night again we're back in fellowship and moving on.
Dude, it's perfect. One last verse I want you guys to end with. Turn to Colossians 3:23. I want you guys to memorize this. When we show up next time, let's pick it up. I know we did this back when we were kind of in our transition period. I hope that's the right verse. Yeah. We kind of had some memorizing going on. This right here, what is this like? Man. You guys ever heard of like the Midas touch before? Who knows what the Midas, Kenzie, what's the Midas touch?
Like everything he touched, it turned to gold.
Everything he touched turned to gold. Has anybody ever thought they wanted that? Now, of course, the moral of the story is don't be greedy and covetous because he ends up touching his kid and the kid turns to gold and so he can't have the thing he loves the most, of course. But let's say like there are like some governors, some stipulations put on that to where nothing bad ended up happening like that. Wouldn't that be cool? Like at the beginning of the story, everybody's all in. Like, yeah, I want that. Man, that's so cool. Look at what he's touching. He's becoming like so rich because everything he touches turns to gold. This verse right here is the Christian's Midas touch. But no bad comes from it. Now, who can see that and explain to me why I just said that? Maybe you don't agree with that. Colossians 3:23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. What's the rest of that? Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. We've just been talking about service already. Talking about slaves and rights and servants. This is a great verse on service. Why would I say this verse right here is the Midas touch?
Because the rewards are eternal. Because everything else here is temporary.
Okay, everything's temporary, but how does this apply to a Midas touch? There's a W word here.
Whatsoever.
What is excluded from whatsoever?
Nothing.
Did that make sense? What's left out of the word whatsoever? If I say whatsoever you do, Jordan, what am I leaving out? But you, Jordan, what am I leaving out? If I say whatsoever you see on the table, eat, what did I tell you not to eat? Maybe this word sounds
nothing.
Nothing. All right. I'm like, this would be clear. Nope. Clear as dirt. Whatsoever, guys, means everything. That verse right there just said, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Watch this. When your parents tell you to wash the dishes, you can be getting gold at the judgment seat of Christ for that. When they tell you to scoop up the dog poop, you can be getting gold if you do it for the Lord. You say, but my parents told me to do it, so I'm just doing it because they told me to do it. Well, fine then. Be broke. Be broke in eternity. Go ahead. Do it just because your parents told you to do it. No, as a Christian, you can do it on a different level. You can say, yes, my parents told me to do that. But Lord, for your honor and glory, because you told me, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. That's the Bible principle. And Lord, because the Bible says in Colossians 3:23, anything that I do from this point on, I can do it for you. I'm actually going to pick up this dog poop for some rewards right now. How do you do that? Because I'm going to be obedient to my parents because you were obedient to your Father, Lord Jesus. Because you died on the cross for my sins. And now I'm tying every single thing in my life in to my rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. All you have to do to get gold, silver, and precious stones at the judgment seat of Christ, do you guys realize this? First Corinthians 3, is serve God with the right heart attitude. That's what it comes down to. God tries every work that you do for him based off of the sword, the hard attitude. Why did you do it? Why did you do it? Why did you obey your parents? So that you wouldn't have to hear their mouth? Because it's better to obey than hear their mouth? Or did you obey their parents because you're serving me? And you know that I went all the way to the cross for my Father, and I gave it all for my Father. And because you know I'll be blessed by that, you know I'll be pleased by that, you're doing the same thing. When you clean your room, you can be getting rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. When you walk downstairs and sing and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, you can be... Guys, it says, whatsoever you do. When you choose not to go over the speed limit, you can do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all it is. Everything you do in your life, all you have to do from now on is purpose it for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Midas touch right there. I've known that, and I still go through my life not applying that like I should. You know why? Because before I do stuff to actually have that thought in my mind, it kind of takes me out of the mood I'm in sometimes. You know, sometimes I'm more full of myself, and I'm thinking about stuff that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. I know to get into that mindset, I have to stop thinking like that, and it's not fun to stop thinking like that and like go into like a spiritual mindset. It's more fun just to kind of have this goofy meme head or whatever's going through my mind. Jokes, stupid songs, or something like that. But I forfeit, look at that, everything I do. You don't have to be a martyr. You don't have to own a church and have a huge ministry and be the leader of anything. Every single thing you do, every step you take, you can give it to the glory of God. That simple, man. It's like Danny or Bob, one of them said, it's very simple, but it's not easy. Okay? So, anyway, good time tonight. I'll try to shut up more next time, give you guys more